You're listening to one in a series of podcasts from the 2009 High Ed Web Conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Thank you, everyone, for coming out. I'm Joshua Ellis. This is Shelby Thayer. We both work for Penn State Outreach. Outreach is, if you think of college as the regular undergraduate students and graduate students who go to classes, outreach is all the other stuff. So adult students, online education, public broadcasting. And we both work in the marketing and communications department. Shelby works on the strategy side. I work on the tech and creative side. We like to joke that I'll tell you how stuff works. Shelby will tell you what it means. So we're going to kind of divide this presentation in half. Shelby's going to talk about kind of the idea behind analytics. She's going to provide a few case studies, and then I'm going to spend 15 or 20 minutes actually going into Google Analytics and showing how you can do some of the things that Shelby talked about. So to start out, I'll turn it over to Shelby.
Hi, can everybody hear me? I just came down with a cold like a day ago, so brilliant, right? So I'm going to be talking about kind of the strategy side of web analytics, goals, objectives, things like that. So first, let's get started. What is web analytics? And it really encompasses three things. Competitive intelligence, which is, if you've heard of companies like Alexa, Hitwise, Compete, you can get competitive insights into your competitors and then measure yourself against them, do gap analysis, things like that. So you can get that there. There's voice of customer, which are your feedback forms, your surveys. Usability testing is really under here. Your voice of the customer. And then you have your website behavior, on-site analytics, your Google Analytics, Omniture, Web Trends, Yahoo Web Analytics. And that's really what we're going to go over today. Is anybody here running analytics that is not Google Analytics? Okay, a few. Okay, great. Okay, so let's get started. I don't know if any of you know who Avinash Kaushik is. He's probably arguably the web analytics guru in the industry. And everybody kind of knows what the 10-90, or some people say the 90-10 rule is of everything. And he kind of coined this for web analytics. And what it really says is when it comes to analytics, it's really 10% about the tool and 90% about the analysis and what you do with the data that you get out of your tool. And unfortunately, a lot of times in higher ed and in other industries as well, it's kind of the other way around. You say, oh, Google Analytics is free, we're just going to slap it on there. But it takes time to implement and tweak, and you're looking at these things and not really get anything out of it. So 90% on the analysis. So why do we measure website behavior? Well, it really can be kind of boiled down to two things: optimizing your marketing efforts and optimizing the user experience. And for those of you who are not in marketing, you're not marketing, well, if your website is indexed by search engines, if you have links to it from other sites, whether they're internal or external, you are marketing your website, whether you think you are or not. And all of that can be measured and optimized. So is your website effective? Is it meeting its objectives? And how do you know? So let's forget about your website for a second. Let's go back, and I don't know how many people in Carlin's presentation right before this, she was talking about business goals, business objectives. What's your business goal? What's your business objective? If you're in the admissions, unit, it might be to increase student enrollments. If you're in the Alumni Association, it could be to increase Alumni Association memberships. If you're in IT, it could be to decrease the amount of viruses on campus in students and in faculty. So you need to have a business goal. And then once you have your business goal or objective, then you talk about what are your website objectives. How can your website help you attain that business goal? So for the admissions, for increasing student enrollments, one of your website objectives could be to increase online application submissions by 20% this year over last year. That's a measurable objective. If you're in the Alumni Association, same thing. You could increase alumni donations or alumni membership online via your website, 10 or 20 or X percent this year over last year. You always want to give it a time frame and make it measurable. This year over last year, this month over last month, things like that. So not until you have that objective can you really measure user behavior. So let's talk quickly about key performance indicators, or KPIs. And these are the measures to see, that we use to see if our website is actually meeting its objective. So let's go back to either the alumni donation or the admissions site. So we have those objectives. We want to increase student enrollment or increase alumni membership or alumni donation. So we come up with our key performance indicators. And when we come up with those, we want to ask ourselves, so what? A lot of times you go into your analytics, you look at the reports, and you say, okay, great. Yay, we got, you know, so many visitors from, you know, Ethiopia. What does that tell you? That doesn't tell you anything. Don't waste your time with it. The so what test, again, Avinash Kashyap kind of came up with this test. And he calls it the three-layer so what test. So when you come up with your key performance indicator, you ask yourself so what three times. And if at the last so what you can't come up with an actionable step, then it's really not a good key performance indicator. So I know a lot of administrators or whatnot love to look at that map and see where visits are coming from. So let's say you got, you know, 100 visits from Australia or something, and they're all excited about that. But you go back and say, okay, so we got 100 visits from Australia. So what? And if they can't answer, so what, let's do this, or let's take an actionable step, it's not a good KPI for you. Forget it. Don't worry about it. So on the flip side, for increasing student enrollments or increasing alumni donations, looking at a key performance indicator like conversion rate. That's measurable. So what? When it goes up, you can take an action. You can do more of your marketing or whatnot. If it goes down, you can increase your marketing effort. You actually have an action to take. An easier way to look at this might be if your KPI, if it increases 10% or decreases 10%, okay, so if our conversion rate increases 10%, who are we going to go to and congratulate and pat on the back and say, awesome, keep doing what you're doing? Or if it decreases 10%, who are you going to run to and demand answers? And if you're not going to run to anybody and you're not going to take that action, then don't worry about that KPI. Move on to something actionable. So let's dig a little deeper into KPIs. One thing that's critical is segmentation, okay? So let's say that one of your website objectives for this year is to become more iPhone friendly. You know, a lot of your students are, you're seeing an increase of usage of iPhones on campus. You really want your websites to become iPhone friendly. So one thing you want to look at before even coming up with that objective is your trends of people coming in via iPhones. So let's say you only have about 3% of your visitors coming in via iPhones, and that doesn't seem like that's very small. But if you look at the trend and you say, well, 6 months ago it was less than 1%, well, that's a pretty significant trend. So 6 months from now, it's going to be maybe almost between 5 and 10%. So you want to look at the trend, and if the trend is there, then that would be a good objective. If the trend isn't there, you can say, well, you know, being iPhone friendly is great, maybe for next year, but really right now, let's not focus on it. So let's say the trend is there. We want to be iPhone friendly. So one of the KPIs, or key performance indicators, that you could come up with is page views per visit. So page views per visit is great, but it really doesn't tell you anything about iPhones. So what you want to do is segment out your iPhone visitors from your non-iPhone visitors and then compare their page views per visit. So if your non-iPhone visitors are 10 page views per visit and your iPhone users are 1, you know that you have an issue there, and that's an actionable step that you can take to solve that issue. So we've talked a lot about trends. Trends are key with analytics. A lot of times we go into our boss's office and we say, hey, we got 100,000 visits today, or 5,000, or whatever it is. And, okay, so what does that mean? You need to put it in a trend. You need to say, what's the difference between going in there and saying, we got 5,000 visits today, or we increased our visits 60% over yesterday. That's a much more actionable, a much more tangible thing. You really want to put it into trends. Now, that's not to say that hard numbers are not are bad. Hard numbers are good for context. So if you're running a marketing campaign or if you're not running a marketing campaign, and let's say you sent out an email, you got click-throughs to a landing page, and people bounced immediately, okay? So you have that campaign, you have a 40% bounce rate. So remember, bounce is when somebody comes in one page and they leave immediately. That's a bounce rate. So campaign A has, let's up it, let's say 60% bounce rate, pretty bad, right? Well, campaign B has 10% bounce rate. That's pretty good, right? But you bring in the hard numbers for context. So if campaign B with a 10% bounce rate only got 4 click-throughs, and campaign A with a 60% got 500 click-throughs, that really brings it into context. This really isn't statistically significant, so you can't really say that this was a great campaign. So that's where hard numbers are great. So optimizing marketing efforts. And this is, I'm going to go through a couple case studies that we've actually done internally. One thing that I really like is, and one thing I really write like on my blog and everything, is going beyond the click-through. A lot of times everybody just looks at click-through rate. We got this many clicks from this email campaign, or if you run Google AdWords, we got this many clicks from our Google AdWords, our paid pay-per-click words. And that really doesn't tell you the whole story. You can get a million click-throughs, but if they're not doing anything on your site, then it's really it doesn't matter. So about a year and a half ago, we launched a geospatial intelligence certificate. And as part of that launch, we obviously launched a marketing campaign to coincide with that. And part of the marketing campaign was Google AdWords. We did keyword research. We launched a Google AdWords campaign. And a few of the keywords specifically were bringing in a ton of traffic. We're talking more than 4,000 or 5,000 click-throughs per week. So this was a ton of traffic. So we were really excited. But again, going beyond the click-through, we were seeing that there was a huge bounce rate. And unfortunately, there was a big goose egg with conversions. So that's not very good. So what we did was we came up with some assumptions. And our number one assumption was that the landing page was terrible. So they're going to the landing page, and the landing page must not, you know, maybe the Apply Now button isn't in the right place or whatever. So that was our assumption was that this landing page was not good. But what we did was we dug even deeper than that, and we looked at internal site keywords. So we segmented out just those people coming in from that campaign. Remember, this is geospatial intelligence. We had a few AdWords that were bringing in a ton of traffic. We segmented out just those keywords from that campaign, and then we looked to see if people were actually searching in our internal site keywords and what they were searching for. And this is just a very small subset of what they were searching for. So as you can see by this, our assumptions were completely wrong. This was actually very poor, low-quality traffic, and we didn't want them. Our landing page was fine. Other things were fine. This was not our audience. So what did we do? We stopped those Google AdWords for those specific keywords. But what if we didn't go beyond that click-through? First of all, we would have poured way more money into those ads because we were getting a ton of traffic from those ads, and that's hard costs. But what if we didn't actually go beyond the bounce rate in the simple conversion? What if we didn't segment out those people and see what else they were doing? We would have continued to tweak that landing page, which is soft costs, the design time, the copywriting time, the development time. So we would have lost all of this time and effort into basically a lost cause because this was not our audience. So if you're not in marketing, you can also use this to optimize the user experience. So can users do what they want to do, and how do you know? So let's look at fallout. And if you were in Carlin's session right before this, she had an example of this as well. So fallout is basically you have a link to a form, you have the form, and then you have a thank you page. It could be 10 pages long, it could be 3 pages long. So if your visitors are linking to the form and then they go away, your fallout is on the form in likewise. So you see where your visitors are going away, and that's your fallout. So a while ago, we had a conference that was really well attended, and we decided to, after the conference, put up some MP3s of some sessions for a small price so other people could get the sessions. And we put them up on the website. It was a really niche group, but it was a very popular conference, so we thought it was a good idea. And they were very cheap. They were like 99 cents or whatnot. So we put these up, and we saw what happened. Now, after about a couple weeks, we saw that we only got 2 people that actually bought these podcasts from the conference. And we thought, wow, okay, well, maybe we shouldn't have charged them. Maybe it was a bad product. They weren't really interested. But what we saw was that more than 100 people actually clicked the link to the download, but only 2 people actually got through the little checkout process for downloading, which is a 98% fallout rate, which is, yeah, that wasn't too good. So what we looked at was, but that was good because we went back to that shopping cart process, and we saw that it was very cumbersome. It asked for shipping information. They're downloading an MP3. But it gave us actionable steps to, okay, we need to fix this right here. So that's what we did. So let's talk quickly about usability testing. Everybody does usability testing. It's fantastic. Everybody should. But how do you know if it worked? You measure before and after. You measure, again, using your objectives, using your key performance indicators, you measure what's happening before and what's happening after. About a year ago, we reskinned our homepage. So what we did was our objective on reskinning the homepage was specifically 2 things. Specifically for navigation, we're seeing very low click-through rates on the left-hand side, and you see they're within the links are within the paragraphs. We wanted to make those more scannable, readable. And the second is with the lion, we wanted to, instead of the lion, have a picture of a student and give it an actual face. So this is what we came up with, and we found that just from bulleting the left-hand navigation, our click-through rates skyrocketed. Double, triple, and in some cases even quadrupled the click-through rates just from bulleting. But again, we wouldn't have known that if we didn't measure before and after. But what was interesting is we also saw that our update section, which on the old page was like up here, our update section, their click-through rates were plummeting. So we decided to simply flip our update section on the right, and the click-through rate went back up. And again, we wouldn't have known that if we didn't measure before and measure after. So really quickly, before I hand it over to Joshua, a free usability test that I love are referring keywords, internal site search keywords, and if you use a knowledge base, those keywords. So referring keywords, keywords coming from your search engines. You can see what you're relevant for on those search engines. And if you're not seeing words that you want to be relevant for, well, then maybe you want to beef up your search engine optimization efforts. Secondly, your internal site search keywords are fantastic to get those terms that actual users are using. So if users are using price or cost and not tuition, maybe you should change that term. or if our users, you know, I think in higher education, when we come up with a degree name that's 15 words long, that users don't know what the heck it means. Maybe in our H1 tags, we have to not use the actual name. Maybe we just use the name in a lower so they can see it. Same thing with our knowledge base. If you have a knowledge base, you can get the exact same insights out of that. And remember that this isn't just for marketing. If you're in IT and you want to decrease viruses across campus, you can actually, if you're running an internal marketing campaign to your campus, you can actually get conversion rate to your download of your antivirus software or your anti-spyware. And that's measurable. You can see, you know, how many people are downloading that, how many people, what's the percentage decrease over campus of those viruses. You can get that. That's measurable, attainable. Another thing, if one of your objectives is just for brand awareness, a lot of people say, oh, we can't measure brand awareness. Well, you can with this, because with brand awareness, you want to look at your referring keywords, your branded keywords. Are the rate of users using your branded keywords actually increasing over time? Or if you're running a branded brand campaign, measure before, measure after. Branded keywords and also direct referrals, people typing in your URL or bookmarking. Those are all branded things. So you can measure brand campaigns this way. So I'm going to put it over to Joshua, and he's going to tell you how to do it.
All right. Thanks, Shelby. So I'm going to spend about 15, maybe 20 minutes going over a few of the features of Google Analytics that are really focused on getting the type of information out that Shelby was just talking about. So specifically, I'm going to look at segmentation, referring keywords, the internal site search keywords, the site overlay, or what sometimes is referred to as a heat map that lets you see where people are clicking on a web page. We're going to talk about events and then also funnels. And we're not going to go into the kind of how you implement Google Analytics on your site. And this is kind of more of, if you're already getting reports out of Google Analytics, here's how you can use some of the more advanced features to get the actionable information. So I'm going to actually sit down for part of this, because I'm going to try not to make this look too much like a software demo, but yeah, it's kind of what it is. Okay, I'm going to flip over to Google Analytics here. Okay. So this is your, we're going to look at segmentation first. So this is your Google Analytics dashboard, and this is actually the information for the last month on our outreach intranet. About 6 months ago, we launched a new intranet for outreach. It's got all the kind of cool wiki, social media type features. We really like it. One of the things that we're using as a performance indicator on this to see if people are actually using it and how useful it is how much time are they spending on the site when they visit the site. And we're kind of looking for trending on this. So this is the average time on site right down here. We watch for trends on this. So we have this number, almost 6 minutes average time on site. That's a useful statistic. I'm actually going to jump back up here and go back to the first month of our launch, which is February. And okay, so it was about 6 minutes. So we have this number that we can look at trends on. What segmentation allows us to do is actually drill in and get some information that might be hidden. Right up here in the corner of almost all of your reports in Google Analytics is this advanced segments box. And this allows you to pick some segments. There's some really good default segments, new visitors, returning visitors, paid traffic, whatever. I'm going to look at new visitors versus returning visitors, and then I'm also going to grab iPhones, and we're going to apply this. Now, if we go back and look at this average time on site, we actually see some information that was hidden looking at the big aggregate number. And that is, the first time someone visits the site, they're only sticking around for about a minute. There's a lot of stuff on the home page. There's a huge menu. It can be a little overwhelming. Once our people get used to the site and they know how to use it, we're seeing about a 10-minute average visit. That's very different than this 6 minute, you know, this 1 minute is very different than the 6 minutes we were seeing. And we can watch those trends. And then we also would hope to see that if we're doing a good job with user education, the length of time on site for our new visitors would increase. Shelby alluded to the iPhone issue. So one of the things that came up in the discussion of the launch for our intranet was how friendly do we want to be for iPhones? How much effort do we want to put into it? So the average visit length for iPhone users was 17 seconds, which is basically enough time to log into our intranet and realize it's completely unusable with an iPhone and then log back out. So this is something that could be alarming if this was something we really wanted to concentrate on. But again, this is where those some of the exact numbers provide context. That was 17 seconds, but it was only 7 people over the month who tried hitting our intranet with their iPhone. So while I think this is something we'll want to address eventually, for 7 people in 1 month, we probably can spend, invest our effort more wisely elsewhere. So these are some of the out-of-the-box ones. Google Analytics also allows you to create custom segments. I'm going to go over to advanced segments over here, and I'm going to actually delete the ones that I had created before and kind of show you how this works. See, I just blew one of my jokes later. So I'm going to create a new custom segment. And the custom segment builder gives you all sorts of things along the left-hand side here that you can measure. And then you drag them over, and then you can create comparisons or filters, and you can make these quite complicated. One of the things that we care about is internal versus external traffic. So I'm going to create a segment for internal traffic. So for us, this would be network location matches the Pennsylvania State University. I'm going to call this internal traffic. Test, make sure this works. And say, okay, so I create this segment. I'm going to add the opposite segment then. So I'm going to say network location does not match the Pennsylvania State University. Call this external traffic. Okay. Yes.
Did you have to do something to tell it what Penn State's IP rating was?
No. That's one of the nice things about with these segments here. So it will actually use your existing analytics data to kind of take a lot of that guesswork out. So if I go into network location, it will do the based on the reverse lookup information or it already has. It will give me that information there. So, so here's all our local cable providers and, the Mayflower Hotel, those sort of things. So that's all there for you. So I'm going to go back to my dashboard here. Okay. And I'm going to change this the segments I'm looking at here from the new and returning to internal versus external traffic. So this is our employee intranet, and we're seeing that maybe a little better than a quarter, maybe 20, 25, 30% of our traffic is actually coming from outside our hardwired Penn State network. Now we know some of this is from sick, twisted individuals who do work while they're on vacation or at conferences. But for our particular organization, we also have a lot of county extension agents in every county around the state who will be interacting with our intranet via whatever network connection they have. So let's go back to that so what question. Well, because we know that 25 to 30% of our traffic to the intranet is coming from outside our hardwired Penn State network, that has implications for the types of content we can have on there from, say, a FERPA or a financial perspective if this information is being transferred over an unsecured channel. If we were going to start having a lot of sensitive information, we may look at this and say, okay, if you're going to hit the internet, you have to VPN in. This also has some implications, especially for our folks out in the field, in terms of the amount of things that require high bandwidth, because we know we have folks coming in not with dial-up, but maybe just a little bit better with shared DSL lines, those sort of things. So this is the type of information that you can get out of with segmentation that you can't get just by looking at your raw numbers. So some other possible segments. The segments that you want to look for really depend on your website objectives and how you're going to measure those. But some ones that we have found useful for ourselves are internal versus external traffic, in-state versus out-of-state traffic, and looking at the behaviors there depending on our marketing campaigns and the people we're trying to reach with our programs. Search terms, which I'll get into in a little bit, but like Shelby had talked about with the geospatial intelligence example, we created a segment based on people who were coming in through certain terms or certain campaigns, and we're able to look at their behavior. Frequent flyers is another one. If you have a site that you want to encourage people to come back, that you want the site to be sticky, you can set up segments that would say, let me look at the behavior of people who have been to this site more than 10 times in the last 30 days versus people who have been to the site less than 10 times in the last 30 days. Where are these two groups of people? What are they doing in the website that's different? Where are they going that's different? What are they looking for that's different? What is causing this set of frequent flyers to spend more time on the site versus these other folks? So that's segmentation real quick. Okay, so the next thing I'm going to look at is the site overlay or the heat map. And this is a really good tool that, like Shelby had talked about, with that before and after for the site redesign. And I am going to go to this particular site. This tool in Google Analytics is great. It is not perfect. And if you have a very Ajax-y type site with lots of JavaScript, this tool kind of breaks sometimes. But if you have a landing page or a fairly static page, this is great. So I'm going to go to the site overlay for this particular site, and my department takes no credit for the design of this site. So the site overlay allows you to get a real quick visual representation of where people are clicking on your site. So I'm going to hide this over here. This is what the site looks like. We've got links everywhere. You can see the overlay, and you get these little bars that kind of tell you where people are clicking. Where this can be useful is a page like this, which is a staff directory. We look at where people are clicking, and almost 40% of the people are clicking right away to the all staff link. Now, this is listed in kind of alphabetical order, but we have links on here where nobody's clicking on them whatsoever. So this might be an opportunity where we could maybe group some of these links together. We might change the order instead of going alphabetical, maybe go by topic area and see if more people are going to a specific category to get a listing of people as opposed to hitting that entire employee list right away to find the person they're looking for. Another place that can be useful is if you have a specific purpose for your page. Now this is a news and publications page. And if the purpose of this page was to host a bunch of annual reports that nobody ever downloads, we have succeeded admirably. But the other piece of information we have on here is a listing of job openings. And that's the most clicked link on this page. Sadly enough, we have more people using the breadcrumbs to get back to the home page than we have downloading the annual report. So this is somewhere we may want to rethink the page and create a page where it's easier for people to find what they're looking for. The second most clicked link here is request assistance. You know, in a redesign, this may be an opportunity to actually move those into the primary navigation. You know, here's the job listings, here's request assistance, and if you want the annual reports, which apparently no one does, you can still get them here on this page. All right, so that's the site overlay. I'm going to go into some of the keyword reports now. So your keyword reports are under traffic sources, and this is the keywords that are bringing people into your site. And there's your content targeting, that's your paid advertising. So that's your pay-per-click, your Google AdWords, your banner ads, those sort of things. And then that's compared to the actual keywords that people are typing into your search engines that bring them to the site. So this is actually kind of an interesting comparison. If we look at average time on site and some of the statistics for our content targeting, now this is traffic that we're paying to get to our site here. They spend an average of 48 seconds on the site. We have a 71% bounce rate. If we look at some of our conversion rates, we have a 0.2% conversion rate from the traffic we're paying for to get to the site. If I go back and compare that to our Brandon keywords, this is statistics for our management development office, and they offer like project management training, those sort of things. Our Brandon keywords would be like management development, Penn State management development. Look at the numbers we get for our branded keywords here. They're spending 7 minutes on the site. Our bounce rate is down to 14%. We're getting if we look at our conversions, we're getting about a 1% conversion rate here, much higher. If we look at the full name, Penn State Management Development, look at our conversion rate, we're getting almost a 16% conversion rate. So the people who know what they're looking for are coming to the site and they're taking the actions that we want. Now the sad thing is, in terms of our pay-per-click traffic, we've been looking at this recently. We have some months where we're paying more for pay-per-click traffic than those people who we've paid to bring to the site are actually generating in revenue for that particular month. You know, so this is somewhere where we can take action on this. So what? The so what on this is, we probably would be better off spending a little bit more time investing in our search engine optimization, getting our search engine ranks up higher. We come in, I think, around 25 on Google for the keyword management development, but we know that's good traffic. So that's a so what there. Related to this, our internal site search keywords. I'm going to go back to our intranet here. Internal site search is really useful for telling you what people are looking for on their site that they can't find, obviously. So a little quick history on our intranet. We used to have this old one called My Outreach, and then we created this new one. We called it Our Outreach, and it was really cool. The reason we replaced our old one is after all the effort that was gone into creating this nice customizable portal, the only thing people used it for was getting to webmail. That's all. So one of the things we needed to make sure that we didn't break was the ability of people to get to webmail from this new intranet. So this is something we watch for, our internal site search key terms. This is actually getting much better, but the number one thing people are searching for on the site is email. The second one is My Outreach, the name of the old intranet, which has been gone for 6 months, but that's where people knew they wanted to get to email. Number two is Yingling, which I think is a type of beer. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. But this is something where if we wanted to look at the behavior of people who were searching for that, we can go back into our advanced segments. We can create a new custom segment. And we can create a segment where people are searching for the keyword Yingling. And we'll call this Beer Seekers. And now on any of our reports, we can compare the behavior of Beer Seekers to the rest of our traffic. See what they're doing. Apparently people who seek beer spend a lot more time on our site than the general public. I'm not sure what action we want to take on that one, but that's kind of how that works. I'm going to go real quick into goals and funnels. So each Google Analytics profile can have up to four goals, and those are expressed in terms of a kind of a page. You have like a thank you page or something. You set it up as a goal, and you want to measure how many people go to that page. On our intranet, we have a goal that's set up. One of the things we want people to do is update their profile, put their picture on it. You know, we got 1,500 people all over the state. They don't meet each other that often. So we measure how often people are updating their profile. I'm going to go back to the month of August real quick. We had an event for our continuing education staff over the month of in early August, and one of the things that we had was these people came in all from across the state. We had a photographer there to take pictures. We emailed the pictures out, and we were wondering, was this worth it? Well, in the week and a half following that, we had about 95 people update their user profile. So that was something to us that said, this actually worked. And now I'm going to go, I'm almost out of time here. I got two things to cover. You can also expand a goal to a funnel, and I'll show a quick funnel visualization. It kind of looks like this, and I'm going to go to this. So we define the funnel. These are really good for measuring processes and seeing how successful they are or where people fall out. So we set up this funnel that we want people on our management development site to come to the homepage, go to this program page, and register for a course. This is actually a funnel that works pretty well because we have 21% of the people who actually get to that page register for the course. So our action there may be to drive more people to that page and there. The last thing I'm going to cover, because we're almost out of time here, is events. There are other things that you want to track on your site besides just what pages people are looking at. And event tracking is something that allows you to do this. We'll have it on the website. There's this cool plugin called the WASP Google Analytics plugin. It's a one line of JavaScript code you add to your page, and it automatically tags all of your links and on-click events as on-click things as events. Someone asked us the question, I have this page on my site. It's a lot of links. It was a library site going out to other sites. I've got like a 95% bounce rate on this site. I don't know if this page is working or not. This allows you to see where people are going, what external sites people are going to when they click on things. So this is our intranet. Number one, of course, is webmail. Number three, another way to get to webmail. And then number two is our employee monthly attendance tracking. So if you have a site that then sends traffic out to other sites that you can't get analytics from, you at least can see where they're going and look at the quality of traffic that's leaving. So I think that's all the time. Do we have any time for questions? Yes.
When you had the page with all those 0% for the PDFs, yep. One thing I learned at the workshop on Sunday was the way it makes that page is it only subtracts the number of hits it got on that page.
Yeah. Not on that particular one, but we know from event tracking that no one's still downloading the annual report. So, yes. Yes. Because if you put a filter on that, the record of that traffic is gone. So my recommendation is always to capture everything you can and then use segmentation to split it out, because that way you can ignore it if you don't want it. But if you would ever want to get that internal traffic back, if you filtered it out, you can't. It's gone. So, I guess that's it. Thank you.